God has not forgotten us. However, far too many people in our world today has forgotten God. Would that make sense to you? Many, many times when difficulties come up and we're surrounded by these different things and we've got these trials, we've got these tribulations, we've got these temptations, we have all of these things that's kind of right in front of us. Far too many times we may feel like we're in this world alone. We may have those people that's in our immediate family. We may have others that we work with. We may have a neighbor out there. But sometimes in life, there may be people who feel like, God, where are you in that situation? How have you forgotten us? But the reality is, and I want to make sure you know that according to the Bible today, God has not forgotten his people, but sadly some of his people have forgotten him. I don't believe it's God that we're turning to as much as we once did. And I say that because of the evidence of the things that we see. This area at one time was called the Bible Belt. Anybody here remember that? All right. We were called the Bible Belt for a long, long, long time. And now, sadly, we have lost that reputation, Tara. We lost the reputation of being good, southern, godly people. And it's a sad situation. While tribulation and challenges are absolutely universal, everybody goes through these difficulties. We know that there are storms in almost every single walk of life. It don't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you are, it doesn't matter what you do for a living, it doesn't matter about any of that. We know that storm comes to everyone, and we need to remember for the believer, for the Christian, for the child of the Most High God, we need to know that these storms, no matter what they are, no matter how powerful these storms may be, for the child of God, for the Christian, for the believer, we need to know and must know that that storm is only temporary. Would you agree with that? It is only temporary. And please know that these challenges and these trials that we are faced with, they are surrounded by, if I may, peace and good cheer. I think about the Apostle Peter over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and how he praised God for the truth. Look over with that in that passage of Scripture, and let's see what the great apostle had to say about that. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you don't mind, verses 3 through 9. The Scripture says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us." Let me clear something up. The Bible doesn't say he's forgotten us. The Bible says he has begotten us. Amen? Are we together, congregation? You hear me, church? He has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. What did he raise us up to? The Bible says he raised us up to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in, I love this, in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." So you see, the Bible's telling us that God's people and every people will be grieved from time to time. Are we in agreement? All right. Then, watch this, verse 7, "that the genuineness of your faith," brothers and sisters, that's how we overcome. We have faith in God. We know that God's going to work all things for our good. And we have faith in God to know that God has not and will not forget his people. Now, "that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love," watch this, "though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Watch this. "Receiving the end of your faith," here's the most beautiful part, "the salvation," finish it, congregation, "the salvation of our souls." Brothers and sisters, God has not forgotten his people. Say that with me. God has not forgotten his people. Friends, it's during these hardships and these difficulties that when we are in Christ, we find hope. It's during these trials that we find comfort. It's during these tough, difficult situations that you and I find encouragement, and we get that from our loving God. Yes, it is true that in this physical life, there's going to be suffering. There's going to be difficulties. It's non-avoidable. But our God is a very powerful God. And we know that God is our refuge. He's our strength. And the Bible tells us over in Psalm chapter 46, down in verse 1, He is a very present help in the time of our what? Anybody know? In the time, thank you, in the time of our trouble. So whenever it is that you and I are faced with these difficulties, whatever it is that you and I may be going through today, please know that God has not forgotten you. You are not in this battle alone, I promise you. You're going to be able to overcome this through Christ Jesus. Perhaps this very moment in your life, you are suffering from a loss. Maybe it is an illness. Maybe it's a physical ailment that has come your way. And maybe that's leaving you feeling somewhat helpless. Like, you know, I don't even know what to do next. But we must remember that we have a God. We have an awesome God who sees and He understands the heartaches of each of us. For those of you that are parents, no matter what age, do we understand when our child or children have heartaches? We understand we can look at our child. Jerry Jr. can walk in her door. He is 44 years old, can walk in her front door to her house, and I know if something's hitting him, if something's bothering him. I can tell by my grandchildren, by the expression on their face, something's wrong, what's going on. And we get to know each other like that because we love each other like that. God loves His children, amen? And God knows our hearts. He knows what we feel. He knows what we're going through, and He's going to pull us through it. But He does expect us to stand on our faith in Him. He expects us to trust in God for full deliverance. God wants us to cast our cares upon Him. Matter of fact, we're told in the Bible that we must do that. Over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, God's Word says, casting all of your cares upon Him. Does anybody here know why? Can you look at that latter part? Because who cares for us? God cares for us. Who is that? That's our Father. It's the Father of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And God is saying, cast those burdens. Bring those burdens my way. Cast those cares. The reason for your heavy heart, bring it to me. Put it at the foot of the cross, and I will see you through this tough situation. Maybe you're one that's having some heavy burdens, and they seem just too heavy to bear. Let me advise you, brothers and sisters, to trust in God. Trust in the Scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. And I love this. The Bible says it is a what? A light unto my path. Folks, listen to me. Allow God to be your guide. Allow God to be the one to encourage you through His word. Listen closely to what the Bible says, because it's in the Scriptures that you and I will receive the strength to face and to endure these trials. So brothers and sisters, please, I'm begging you in the light of the Scriptures, don't give up when the waters are high. Don't give up when at times your faith may be seen a little bit weak, because you're not weak in Christ Jesus. God has not forgotten His people, but some of His people's forgotten God. So I just wanted to remind all of us that when these difficulties come up and we're surrounded by these problems, don't think God has forgotten us. Look at our own lives and see if we have forgotten God by maybe not being obedient, maybe by not communicating to Him in prayer, maybe by not studying His word, maybe by forsaking the assembly, maybe by not being benevolent, helping those that are about us. There's a bunch of ways, that's not necessarily the best grammar, but there's a bunch of ways that we can forget God. Do you agree with that? When we forsake the righteousness of God, when we're not putting Him first and foremost in our life, we are forgetting God. We don't want God to forget us, and yet so many times we forget God. Yes, it's true that you and I as human beings, we love smooth sailing, don't we? We want to be on the smooth waters. And if we had our way, there would never be any storms. There would never be any clouds to darken the skies above us. There would never be any sorrows. There would certainly be absolutely no losses. But unfortunately, we can't have it that way. There's going to be those difficulties. There's going to be those problems. We're going to be disappointed and discouraged from time to time. And many times we're going to be distressed. But we need to remember and must remember that my God will deliver. My God will come through as He always has. We could probably benefit from something I read a while back that stated this. Here's what it said. It said, smooth seas doesn't make skillful sailors. And that's about right, isn't it? You're not going to become a skillful sailor if everything is smooth. But when we endure and we go through those rough seas, when we're able to endure those difficult times, we become strong in Christ Jesus. Let me remind you again this very moment, God has not forgotten you. I think about what the Bible says over in the book of John. Let me go over there if you don't mind. John chapter 16, share with me verse 33. Sometimes people do feel like that God has forgotten them, especially when they're faced with all these difficulties. But let's take a look at John 16, 33. The Bible says, "These things I have spoken to you that in me," watch what Jesus promises us. Watch this. "These things I," Jesus, "have spoken to you that in me you may have" what? "But in the world you will have tribulation." But he says in here, "Be of good cheer, hang in there." Why? Because Jesus says, "I have overcome the world. I am paving this path for you. Just follow me," is what Jesus is saying. Thank you, Jesus, for that promise. That no matter what we may be going through, no matter what we may be facing, no matter what you and I may be up against in Christ, you and I can have peace. Agreed, congregation? First point that I want us to examine is this. Please know today that you and I are more than conquerors in Him. We are more than conquerors in Him and through Him. Once again, let us be reminded that God has not forgotten us, but many of God's people have forgotten Him. Sadly, there's a large number of people that have literally walked away from Jesus Christ, and now their life seems to be falling apart. Does that make sense? Their life, things seem to be dwindling. People's lives are going in a downward spiral, and they begin to wonder why. And then when they finally hit rock bottom, guess who they blame? They blame God. "God, why did you allow this to happen?" God didn't allow it to happen. You created it. When we walk away from Jesus Christ, when we walk away from those nail-scarred hands of Jesus, when we turn our back on God, we are turning our back on mercy. We're turning our back on grace. We're turning our back on the very one that loved us so much that He did lay down His life for you and for me. Let me remind you that you and I, that we must be in Christ Jesus if we're going to be more than conquerors. If we're going to be able to withstand, brothers and sisters, life struggles and trials. Romans chapter 8, verse 37, the scripture says, "Yet in all these things we are more than through" who? Who did what? Loved us. I love that. We're going to come back and visit that here in just a moment. But folks, what does it mean to be in Christ? It means to be into Christ Jesus and Him into us. It means that we are to be lovers of the Lord. Amen? We are to love God with all that we have. It means to count it all joy and to be obedient unto Him. To be in Christ means to give ourselves, not part of the way, not some of the way, but give ourselves completely to the Lord, giving our lives to Him, walking with Him, walking beside Him, walking for Him. Amen? That's what it's about. Jesus told His disciples about being in Him and putting Him first, no matter what. We just looked at that in Matthew 16 just a few moments ago, 24 through 26. We can also consider what the Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 3, 17, "In whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father," the Bible says, "through Him." Being in Christ means that Jesus, and this is beautiful, that Jesus has added us to His church, the church that was established on the day of Pentecost, the church that He gave Peter the keys to the kingdom to. Matthew chapter 16, down in verse 18, "And I say to you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." I have to think about Acts chapter 2, down in verse 47 as well. Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church, His church, daily those that are being what? Saved. Listen, to get into the Lord's church, to get into heaven, we must be baptized upon our confession of faith for the forgiveness of our sins and repent of our sins. Stop living for ourselves and start living for Almighty God. Luke 13, 3 and 5, "I tell you, nay, but unless you will all likewise perish." That means you're going to die spiritually. So we're thankful today, or we should be, that the Lord adds us to His church, those that are being saved. So yes, difficulties are going to come about. When they do come about, we can't blame God. Amen? We cannot blame God, but rather we can depend on God for full delivery. There's going to be economic issues in our homes and in our financials. There's going to be the loss of loved ones. There's going to be physical ailments. There's going to be health challenges. There's going to be relationship issues. However, in Christ, you and I can be more than conquerors. Amen? There's going to be the attacks of the devil, but we can still be more than conquerors in Him. The second point we're going to examine is this. Please know that nothing but nothing can separate us from God. Ready? Say it with me. Nothing but nothing can separate us from God. So that's what I want us to make sure we consider in this particular passage. Yes, indeed, there are many, many things that go wrong in our lives today. Many, many things that go wrong, and things just seem to be falling apart sometimes. But through it all, nothing but nothing and no one but ourselves can have the power to separate us from the love of God. There's that old enemy that we've talked about many, many times, that's doing everything in his power to bring you back to his trap. He's doing everything in his power to distract your attention that you're giving God. He's doing everything in his power to render us worthless to the church that Christ built. He's doing everything in his power to debilitate our walk with Jesus Christ. But I'm going to remind myself and others what the Bible says about that over in 1 Peter 5:8, when the Lord says, be sober, be vigilant, be on guard, because your adversary, describes who it is, the devil, walks about like a roaring, what's he doing? The book of James chapter 4, down in verse 4, the Bible says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So please, congregation, please, church, be careful with that. And then I love what Paul was writing to the church of Thessalonica. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, down in verse 22, boy, he preached a sermon with just a few words. I know you wish I could do that. But watch this. Abstain from every form of evil. Isn't that a great lesson? Abstain from every form of evil. We must know, and we do know, that Satan doesn't give up. We know that he doesn't discriminate. We remember a few weeks ago, we looked at Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and how the devil even went after Jesus, didn't he? After Jesus had fasted, what, 40 days, 40 nights? The Bible says afterward he was hungry. And then the devil came up to him, trying to create confusion, trying to discredit Christ, saying, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. If you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these things you see. You better wake up, devil, because it belonged to the Lord already. He made it. Amen? But you see how the devil will use some of God's blessings to try to render us worthless. He'll use some of the blessings we receive to try to pull us away from Almighty God. So I submit to us today to remember that God has not forgotten us, but let's be certain that we don't forget God. Is that all right with everybody? That's what I want to remind us of. So, mankind will do whatever they choose. You and I both know that. If we want and we desire to serve the Lord, we will serve the Lord with all of our heart. And when we do that, there is nothing but nothing that can separate us from the love of Almighty God. In Romans 8, 35 through 39, the Bible says, who? Watch this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Look at that question that's being asked. Nobody except us. Amen? Will it be tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, no height, no depth, no or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Last two words. And what does that mean? Our master. Amen? So look at that, brothers and sisters. Be encouraged with this. This is awesome. God has not forgotten us. If you're away from God, you have forgotten him. The third and final point. This lesson will go home with you. Please know that Jesus, I love this. Please know that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. As long as we are holding to the obedience of God, as long as we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Friends, people that you think are your friends, they'll leave you. They'll forsake you. Anybody ever heard of the word treachery? All right, and the treachery of a friend? You know, I find out every day, and I'm sure that you do as well, that people that you really thought would have your back, people that you really thought would be your friend, could not care any less if you live or die. And then you find out that some of the people that you didn't think gave a rat's ear about you would be the ones that would almost do what Jesus did, lay down their life for you. So it tells us and it redirects our thoughts. Put our faith, put our trust in who? God and not mankind. And it's okay and it's good for us to encourage each other, to believe in each other, to help each other. But if I'm putting my faith in you or you're putting your faith in me, get ready for a letdown. Amen? Because our faith and trust is to be in our Heavenly Father. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us as long as we're striving after Him. We all have people in our lives, once again, as I said, that we thought we could trust. I am thankful for the promise of God, the promise that our Father in heaven gives us as His followers. I love what the Scripture says over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, down in verse 5. I love what the Bible says, inspired of God. It's His writings. The Scripture says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He, God Himself, has said, Jesus Christ is telling us, I will never leave you nor. So if there's separation, Christ did move, we did. Friends, it sure is nice to know that you and I today, that we can trust in our Heavenly Father, that we can trust in His promises, and we can trust Him as the greatest friend of all time, that He will never leave us. Friends may, family may turn against you, but God never will turn His back on you and me. If we are still breathing this Lord-given air, we always have an opportunity to make things right with Him. Jesus never turned His back on anyone that desired to follow after Him. Jesus gave the prettiest invitation that an individual could ever receive in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Take your yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Thank you, Teresa. You will find rest for your soul. Why do you think Jesus extended that? He extended that because He knows we get wore out in this world. Amen? He knows we get tired. We feel beat up from time to time. We get tumbled around in these storms of life. But the beautiful part about that is when we're in the middle of these storms, when we're in the middle of these trials, all we have to do is look toward the light. Amen? The light of Jesus Christ. And what will you see? You'll see His hands. You'll see His arms wide open saying, come home, I've got you. When we're in the middle of the downpour of life, when we're in the middle of all those difficulties and challenges, what do you need to do? Look toward the light. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the light. Amen? Look toward the light. Go to the Father. He's got His hands out for you. He wants to receive you. He wants to help you. What will you do with that invitation? Will you turn away from it? Will you think, well, I can handle it on my own? Or will you fully submit to Christ? Yes, I've been through these storms. Yes, I'm in some difficulties. Yes, I've got these struggles. Yes, I've got these challenges. Yes, I'm in a real odd situation. So, Father, I'm just going to walk to the light. Keep your arms out, Lord. I'm coming home. Say that with me. Lord, I'm coming home. So that's what I want us to remember today. God has not forgotten us. Far too many has forgotten Him. In Matthew 28 through 20, when Jesus gave the great commission to those disciples to go make disciples of all the nations, that's what He told them to do. He said, go make disciples, baptize them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then He went on to say, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And He says, lo, I am with you always, even to what? Thank you, Jerry. Even to the end of time, even the end of age. So, brothers and sisters, we all have the exact same promise from God. Isn't that cool? He doesn't give Bobby one and then Tony another. He doesn't do that. He's given, listen, Abby, He's given you and me the exact same promise. And that is, He's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave me. Well, let's today make a commitment that we're not going to leave Him. Does that sound pretty good? We're not going to leave you, Father. Please keep doing what you're doing. Always remember, as I close this lesson today, remember that God has not forgotten His people, but so many of His people has forgotten Him. Are you among the number of people today that's forgotten God? If so, you're not to be criticized. Amen. You are to be prayed for, helped, and encouraged. Because trials happen, difficulties happen, and we're human beings. Today, if you find yourself in a situation where you're kind of blaming God for things, If you find yourself in a situation where you feel like you're compromising your Christian and your spiritual integrity, that can be repaired today. All you need to do is come forth, ask for the prayers of the congregation. You don't have to go into detail. Just ask for the prayers of the congregation. I stand before you today asking you to pray for me and my family and the families that I come in contact with. It is my chief desire to go to heaven, and it's also my chief desire to serve God by spreading His word to as many people as I possibly can for as long as I can. Amen? So today, if you're having a difficulty in your walk with Christ, you've already become a Christian, and you need those prayers, I hope and pray that you'll come forward. Just ask for the prayers. Don't be ashamed of asking for the prayers. Be ashamed that you didn't ask for the prayers. Today, if you're not a Christian, I don't know what you're waiting on, to be honest with you. Why not come today, put Christ on, upon that confession of faith. Continue to believe and repent of your sins. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Live a faithful life unto death, into your death. Always remember that we are indeed, if you have a need, any need, come now as together we stand and we sing.